Hello, everyone, and welcome to Let's Talk About Christianity. I beat Zach to the intro this morning.
Your intro is not as good as mine.
But I beat you to it.
You did beat me to it, but it's not as good as mine.
I'm pretty sure you can hear on the recording here, but it's like pouring down rain here at Pavilion
and
number 4.
And the wind's blowing, too. It's peaceful, though.
It's very nice. It's peaceful this morning. Not a lot of people out.
At all. A couple ducks. I see a couple ducks on the shore.
Yeah, I don't see anybody else. We're the only ones out here right now.
I remember the first time we came out here to record, we went down here to one of these picnic tables, and it started raining, and that's how we found the acoustics of a pavilion.
That's right.
And these acoustics are pretty great.
Pavilion number 4 is just fantastic.
They've never done us wrong.
Can I recommend Pavilion number 4? If you have a need for a pavilion, this is like the perfect pavilion.
I think the one down there is better, but I like Pavilion number 4 for recording.
I'll give you that.
Now, it's big.
The birds at the other pavilion,
that is outrageous.
You know, they do provide a very nice, you know, ambience, but Pavilion number 4. This is where it's happening. We're dry. That's nice. That's good. And we want to welcome you to our program today. Today's August 1st as we're recording this. This will air on the 3rd, I think it is. A very cool morning because of this front that's coming through and the rain that is falling.
It's the coolest morning I think we've had all summer.
Zach is like ready for fall.
Oh, already. I'm ready. I'm ready for those pumpkins.
I'm ready for
candy corn
and
orange.
And I just want to remind you, Zach, that it's just now August. So, you know, don't.
It's coming, Keith.
Don't go full fall mode on us, though, because we've still got a month of this summer stuff to put up with at least.
It's coming.
But
I'm telling you.
So let's see, Zach, you preached on Sunday.
I did preach on Sunday. We talked about the heart. The same thing we're going to be talking about today.
I was going to see if you had anything to say about your lesson or that experience on Sunday.
Thanks for asking, Keith. I thought it was a very, very good, I wouldn't say good sermon as in I preached it well. I think it was a sermon that needed to be preached. Okay. I think it was a sermon that had a good message behind it. And I think I presented it in a way that resonated with people, I would hope. I would hope that the sermon didn't go in one ear and then out the other, but had an overwhelmingly good response to the sermon.
It could, but, you know, these things happen. So when are you going to be preaching again?
I have no idea. Probably the next Sunday. Usually, I preach every last Sunday of the month, so in the mornings. But, you know, sometimes they spring one on me like, hey, can you preach next Sunday? Yes, sir.
Okay.
You never know.
All right. Well, I just wanted our listeners to know when they could come to Paintsville Church of Christ and hear you live and in person.
Yeah. Hear my radio voice. Miranda, it kills Miranda because when I preach, I do change voices. My voice, I don't know what it is, but anytime I get around a recording device, my voice changes. I think I try to make it sound deeper than what it is.
Yeah.
But I mean, you're like a whole different, your voice is like a whole different person when you preach and speak. And then she said, then you come back to the pew and, you know, there's your voice again.
Yeah. I don't know why that happens, but it does for a lot of people. I know that it does for me, but I don't notice it.
Well, I didn't discover my radio voice until the first time that I preached. I had done a couple things on the radio, but did not discover my radio voice until the first time I preached. And then I got up there and my voice completely changed. And I was like, this is weird. While I'm preaching. Anyway. And your voice changes too.
It does. It does. As much as I try to not let it, it does. I don't know what it is that makes it do that. But I've really noticed it with you though.
Yeah.
I really have. And
if you listen to recordings of my sermons, it doesn't really sound like me, almost.
Yeah. But the first time or two that I heard you preach, I was sitting there, you know, mildly amused, shall we say.
You were laughing at me.
Part of me was sitting there saying, does Zach realize, you know?
I did not until somebody said it to me.
But, you know, it's funny how those things happen. And, yeah. That would make a great illustration if that's what we were talking about today, how that sometimes we change things in certain environments without even realizing that we're changing them.
You're such a preacher.
I can't help it. Occupational hazard.
Yeah.
But, maybe we need to save that illustration for when we're actually trying to make that point. But,
I feel like we should.
But that's not the point we're trying to make today.
Mm-mm.
Before we do that, though. Blood drive.
Okay, so there is going to be a link that will be posted on our Facebook page. I know I said that I'd post it last week, but I didn't learn this until Sunday. So there's going to be a link that the Paintsville Church of Christ Facebook page is going to post, and I will share that link. And this blood drive, I think, is going to occur maybe tomorrow. I'm not quite sure, but what's going to happen?
I think that was the date you sent me.
Wasn't it? But anyway, so they're going to post a link, and what this link will do is you'll be able to click on this link, and you'll be able to reserve a time for the blood drive.
Okay, so, okay.
Yeah.
But the blood drive's not tomorrow.
The blood drive is not tomorrow,
Well, that's good, because this isn't going to air till the day after tomorrow.
Right. Yeah.
So.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay, we will get that resolved and let you know, and, you remember last week when I got sidetracked and I couldn't remember how I got sidetracked or where it came from or
anything? Yeah, but then you found yourself. You always find your way.
But, it had to do with, being a blood donor and me not being eligible anymore and
because of malaria.
All of that because of the malaria. If you are eligible, I want to beg you, and please, I have been a blood donor up until the point where they told me I could not donate anymore. Okay, so don't think that I'm being hypocritical in saying this, but if you are eligible to donate, please consider giving blood. It really doesn't cost you anything except a little bit of your time, and
a lot of things are synthetic in medicine. Blood is not one.
Right, and cost you a little bit of time, and you're giving something that is extremely valuable.
Yes.
Extremely valuable. But, okay, so blood drive, anything else coming up that you need to talk about?
Not that I can think of.
Okay.
PTP's on the rise, though.
Polish in the Pulpit's coming up here in about, 2-3 weeks, something like that?
Starts on the 17th, obviously, it lasts like 2 weeks. We only ever go...
It lasts a full week.
Yeah.
It starts on a Thursday and ends the following Thursday.
Yeah.
But most,
we go that weekend.
Most everything, I won't say most everything, but the weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, is like packed full.
Yeah, that's when everybody goes.
Oh, I know what I was going to mention. The Cane Ridge Lectures
are going on
this weekend at North Lexington. And
I'd actually thought about going down there. They got some really good speakers.
Yes, Alan Webster, B.J. Clark, Kyle Butt.
That's an all-star lineup.
And I can't remember who else.
Wasn't Lonnie Jones going to be there?
I don't think I heard him mentioned, but... I think someone mentioned it to me like while I was driving, which could have been at any given point in time over the past week. I'm one of these. If I had seen the list of speakers, it would be like permanently embedded in my mind.
Well, I've listened to all three of those speakers,
but I never actually saw the list,
right.
and so
we've had a gospel meeting with two of those, and Kyle Butt. He regularly comes to the congregation here in Paintsville, and they're all obviously outstanding speakers.
I don't even have the website for that to tell you where to go to look.
It's got a Facebook page.
I don't even have the Facebook page. You can search Facebook for Cane Ridge Lectures or...
I think it's Cane Ridge Lectureship is what it
Lectureship.
Is.
Lectureship.
And I think that's the name of the page.
Okay.
It's an event page.
Good.
But I think that's the name.
Good. So we encourage you to check that out. That's going on in at North Lexington in Lexington this weekend, and it's always good stuff.
Yes.
So Cane Ridge, Polishing the Pulpit, Blood Drive. I can't think of anything else off the top of my head.
Think we're good. We're ready
other,
to rock.
Other than by the time we record the next episode, school will be back in session.
Every parent's favorite day.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
The kid's least favorite day and the parent's favorite day.
Yes. And remind me when we get done recording to talk to you about next week's schedule. But anyway.
Anyway.
So, yeah. Kid's least favorite day. So I think Central starts back on next Tuesday.
Paintsville doesn't start back till the 15th. I don't think.
So you're going to see those big yellow buses out on the road, and yep.
They'll come by and pick your kids up for free.
Well, I really wanted to address the ones who were going to be in cars on the road at the same time as the big yellow buses.
Okay. You know,
please respect those things. They're carrying precious cargo.
They are carrying precious
cargo. And, you know, give them room and you know, don't tailgate and all that.
Because don't pass the buses.
No, especially when that little red flashy light thing's on, you know. That's bad.
Don't do that.
But, you know, please respect them. They're doing something that is extremely important for our future.
True story. I used to ride the bus as a child going to little old Paintsville Elementary School.
Uh-huh.
And I got off the bus one time, and we had the red sign out and everything, obviously. A motorcycle, if this is the middle of the road where the lines are, as I got ready to step over.
Zach is like diagramming this with his hands on the table.
As soon as I step over this yellow line, there's a motorcycle that goes right by my face. Scared me to death.
Yep.
We'll always remember that too. So please don't pass the school bus when the red sign's going, please.
It happens, unfortunately. And I, this past year, actually did a little driving.
Yes.
And a very little driving, but
Keith,
I did a little driving,
driver.
And I got to experience some of that firsthand.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the guy who is the gal who is sitting in the driver's seat of that bus, has a lot going on.
Oh yeah.
And they don't need you.
Give them another thing that's going on.
To give them something else to have to watch and to worry about, but.
Yep.
So school starting. Okay, I think I'm out of events.
Yep, we're good. We're tapped out. That's all right.
I think I'm out.
We're ready to talk about our topic today.
We are. Don't ask me what episode number. I keep forgetting.
I do know this is The Heart Part 2.
Part 2.
Yep, and today we're going to cover the second question. I'm not going to say we're going to cover more than one question.
There you go.
We're going to cover the second question.
See, you're learning.
Yeah.
We're
going to cover the second question of this four-part series, and this four-part series is a very important series, I think, and it's very important lessons that I feel like need to be spoken, because from the spoken word often comes a changed heart, and sometimes people's hearts need to be changed.
You know, and this is getting sidetracked, but I don't really know where else to throw this in, but you look there in Luke chapter 8 as Jesus gives the parable of the soils, and those four different soils represent four different types of hearts.
Yes, they do.
And you know, I have lost track of the number of times I've driven the Mountain Parkway over the past month.
A lot.
It's been a lot, and incidentally. After this past month, which I think I have driven more than 6,000 miles in the past month, but I now consider myself an expert on road construction. I can pull into a construction zone and I'm going, oh, you guys are not doing that right. That's not going to give a good travel surface, you know. But
everywhere you go, there's road construction. What's up with that?
It's summer.
Well.
But...
Anyway.
Yes. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. If you go along the Mountain Parkway and see the work that they're doing on the expansion, mm-hmm. You know, there's one spot like in the middle of the construction where they are like literally taking a mountain down and filling in,
mm-hmm.
you know, a spot and totally changing the landscape.
Yeah.
Of that, and you know, it will be changed till something else changes it.
Right.
I won't say forever, but you know, it's absolutely amazing what they are able to do, And I have so much respect for those guys and the work that they are doing and literally moving mountains. By the way, there's a lesson in that too.
Yes, there is.
Yeah, we can move mountains today.
With our faith.
With our faith and with a shovel.
Yeah.
But, you know, anyway, that's a different, you know, we can, maybe that, I don't know. We'll work that in at some point. The point I was trying to make was Luke chapter 8, those four different types of soils, those four different types of hearts. Here's the thing about those soils. You can change the type of soil.
Yes, you can. And I actually preached a sermon about that. That was the point that I made at the end of the sermon was it's not, you're not given a specific soil.
No.
You're not assigned a soil.
What that is doing there in Luke chapter 8 is describing the condition of your heart at this point in time.
Yes.
And if you allow it to remain, for example, a rocky soil.
Right.
Then Jesus says, this is what's going to happen.
Yes.
You may need to remove some rocks.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when, I won't tell you what year it was, but when we moved, when I was a kid, moved back to Missouri. And we had fields that were pasture that we wanted to convert to hay fields. Mm-hmm. And the rocks had to be picked up.
Right.
And we hauled load after load after load after load of rocks out of there and made it in some pretty good hay fields.
Really?
But
little Keith hauling rocks.
Yeah, it was good times. Yeah, a little you know, one of these homemade trailers made out of a 6-foot truck bed, and who knows how many loads of rocks we hauled out of there. Really wish I'd counted now, but kind of glad I didn't.
Yeah.
But, you know, you may need to remove some rocks. You may need to remove some thorns.
Yeah.
If you are the wayside soil that has been trodden underfoot, not only may you need to do a little tilling.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
And loosening the soil, but that's not going to do any good unless you redirect whatever it is that's trampling you underfoot.
That's a very good point. That's a very good point.
You didn't see that one coming, did you?
I didn't see that one coming. I did see the tilling coming, though.
So, you know, that's the point is that hearts can change, but it's like those rocks in that field. That was hard work, even for, I don't remember how old I was. I probably wasn't but about 10, you know. You know, it's going to take some work.
And, you know, the thing about a changed heart, too, is a changed heart only comes from God. And there were two stories that I told in the sermon that I preached on Sunday. I didn't preach about this specific question that we're going to answer today, but I preached about the heart in general. And one of the stories was Paul. You know, think about Paul for a second. Paul went from persecuting the church to preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ.
And did so very rapidly.
And it was a change that a lot of people noticed. And it was a change that Paul couldn't even deny that took place within his heart.
And you know, I don't think I've ever specifically preached about the rapidness of that change. But, you know, Paul literally went from one extreme to the other overnight.
Flipped it.
Well, over 3 days. But, you know,
flipped
you
his
know
life.
What I mean.
Yeah.
But, you know, people say, well, I don't like change. You ever heard anybody say that?
No. Never.
I don't like change. And I appreciate people that say I don't like change because they're being honest.
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
they're
just. But the ones
no
who,
one likes change.
The ones who say, well, I just can't change.
Mm-hmm.
No.
What
now you are saying is, no, I don't want to change.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And the second story that I told was...
Oh, yeah, you're still telling...
About...
You're still telling stories.
I know, man. This is weird. Tables have been turned.
Oh, please, go ahead.
Jeffrey Dahmer. One of the most notorious serial killers in the history of the United States.
Serial killers.
Of the world. I mean, this guy was a bad, bad dude. He lived a life of a lot of unspeakable crimes.
Yes.
So eventually he was caught. He was sentenced to life in prison without parole. And there was a preacher in the church. I don't know if you know this, but Roy Ratcliffe. I don't know if you've ever met him or heard him. I was actually talking to one of the elders at church, and he had said that he thought that he had actually heard him preach before.
Mm-hmm.
But he frequented the prison where Dahmer served his time and actually began to talk to Dahmer, you know, about the Bible and had Bible study after Bible study after Bible study with Dahmer. And eventually he was able to baptize Domner into Christ. And, you know, from that point on, as we learn, Domner became a new person. He was a new creation. All things had become new. But it was something that everybody that he served with, all the inmates he served with, even the prison guards that he served with noticed. It was a noticeable change that occurred within Domner. And then 8 months later, he died. Now, you know, I don't know the motives behind Domner's actions. That's not my place to judge. That's God's place to judge. But God's salvation and God's grace is big enough for anybody, no matter how vile or disgusting your sins are. I know that.
So, Zach, this is me reining you back in.
Wow.
So, Zach, what is the question for today?
It's a big question. And the big question
is... like a big question lengthy
text? This is a very impactful question.
Oh, okay.
And it's one of the four questions that stem from the first question. The big question is, what's the root problem for the church? There were four questions under that question that you can divide that question into, four different compartments.
I bet I could divide it into more.
You probably could. I divided it into four.
Okay.
The first question was, why are members so inactive within their attendance? You know, why do they struggle to come to church?
We talked about that last week. Yeah.
Today's question is, why are members so absent in their serving? And that's a big question. In other words, when it comes time to serve God in a mission or evangelistic capacity, why does nobody show up?
Well, I've heard it summed up over the years that, the work of the church can be pretty much, you know, divided into three categories.
Right.
Evangelism, benevolence, and edification.
Yes, and you've told me that before.
Yes, and so when you look at those three areas, and the reason I wanted to bring those three areas up was because it just illustrates not only how much work can and needs to be done, but the diversity of the work that can and needs to be done. And, you know, it's there. It's before us. But, you know, we the whole point of this question, or the whole root of this question, is that we know there are those who are either not participating in such, that's good enough because I forgot the other point that I was going to make. But
it must have not been very important.
I'll think of it here, you know, in a minute. But, you know, so we know there is work to be done. We know.
Yeah.
But to some degree, it's not being done. Or there is more that could be done. Let's phrase it like that.
Or it's getting done to an extent, but they don't have the help or the manpower to get all of it done.
I've always heard it summed like this, and the numbers vary somewhere between, you know, 10% and 20%.
Right.
You know, and you can look at whatever congregation you are at, and you can make the applicable number there, but I've found 10% to be pretty much the general rule. But you know, it's often been said that 90% of the work gets done by 10% of the membership.
Yep, that's a good point.
And you know, first of all, you ask why, and second of all, you can't help but ask or wonder what could be accomplished if that number were broadened.
I think the possibilities are endless as to what could be accomplished if that number was broadened. Even if you had 40 or 50% of the members helping out, not even all 100% of the members.
A bird just caught a fish out there.
Keith's eyes just got real big.
Yeah.
But, I think the possibilities are endless, and I feel like there are possibilities, and it's work that needs to be done. It has to be done. And when we don't do it, you know, we lose souls.
So we could spend an entire episode or an entire series of episodes on the what. But that wasn't the question you asked. Mm-mm. The question was, why not?
Yes. You want me to give you my answer?
Oh, okay.
I'll go first. This is weird. I don't like
even
this.
Even though I had my mouth open and my hand up, you know, ready to, you know.
Go ahead, Keith.
No, you go first. I'm not going to forget this.
Okay. Okay.
I'm not going to forget this. So.
The tables are turned today. I don't like it. Anyway.
Wait, do we need to swap sides here?
I think we do. I don't know what's going on, but I think we do. But I think one of the big problems is, and this is just my opinion, it's from my observations, and yet I am still, what would you call me, a young evangelist. I haven't really been exposed to all the rigors of the preaching profession.
We'll go with that.
That you have. You know, but I think the problem lies, obviously it lies in the heart, but I think the problem stems from something that I feel like a lot of people in the church hold. And I think that is, you know, some people in the church believe that because they believe the right things and they worship God in the right way, you know, that means that they're right in the eyes of God. But then they turn around and they live their lives in a way that we all know they shouldn't live their lives in a way that's not in accordance with God's will. Now, I would like to go to James 2, verse 17. And that verse obviously says, you know, faith without works is, wait for it, dead.
Dead.
Faith without works is dead. And, you know, and I think an important point to make is that, you know, yes, Jesus cares about what people believe, and he cares about what people do and do not do, but he also cares about what's in your heart, you know.
Yes. Yes. And that is one of the, we're never going to get around to actually answering the question, are we? That is one of the key elements of Christianity. It's not what's on the outside, but what's on the outside is important.
Yes.
And as far as that goes, it's not what's on the inside, but what's on the inside is important.
Yeah.
Or maybe we should phrase it like this. It is what's on the outside, but what's on the inside is important. And it is what's on the inside, but what's on the outside is important.
I would phrase it like this. If your heart isn't in your faith, then you are not in your faith. And I feel like that's an important concept.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, if your heart is not in your faith, then your faith is not in your heart.
Hey! Why didn't I do that? Yeah,
you could have put that on a T-shirt.
You really could.
I mean, that was good stuff right there.
Anyway.
Anyway, yes, as you said, faith without works is indeed dead.
And I think it's a point, you know, that we kind of fail to look at, too, is sometimes, you know, our faith, or actually our works are an equal counterpart. The works that we demonstrate within our Christianity are an equal counterpart to the faith that we possess within our lives. But sometimes we look at the faith as being the most important. It's the 80, and then the works are the 20.
Yes.
Go ahead, Keith.
I still think, though, that we're talking about the what, and we haven't gotten to the why.
We haven't. Yeah, we're still talking about the what.
So,
I don't really. You want to know the honest answer? I don't know the why, Keith.
Here's what. You want to know the why?
It sounds like we're at a construction zone right now.
The rain stopped, and so here comes a backhoe.
Yeah, it sounds like we're at the construction.
So here's one way to figure out the why.
Okay.
Now, I recently participated in a question and answer session.
All right.
Where I was, you know, actually I've participated in more than one here recently, and where I was, you know, answering questions that were presented, and at the end of all of those question and answer sessions, I could not help but make the point that, you know, you were learning things from the answers, but I was learning things about you from the questions.
Yep.
So, I want to take that principle and apply it to what we're talking about here. Why are so many members absent in their service?
That's the question.
Okay. Wanted to make sure I had it right.
Right.
Because I had left my iPad at home today.
Yeah, you're barren.
Yeah. Oh, it's been a crazy morning.
And you keep looking down.
And it wasn't even especially crazy, but. I got out of the house without everything. But anyway.
You brought your to-go bag, though, with all your
I got my bag, yeah. I brought my backpack today. I don't know where I'm going, but I think it was just habit. I've gotten to the habit of I go out the door and I grab the backpack. But
yep. Anyway.
Anyway, what excuses do people give?
We could do an entire episode on the excuses people give.
What excuses do people give, and what do you learn from the excuses that they give?
My favorite is, I don't really have the time because of everything else that's going on in my life. And then you sit there and you think about that excuse in particular.
And we are talking in the context of the heart.
Yes. And you think about that excuse in particular and you're like, so they don't have time for God, but they've got all the other time, all the time in the world for all these other things that they need to do.
Priorities.
You know, Matthew 6, verse 21, your heart is where your treasure is.
Matthew 6, 33.
Yeah.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
And even though I can't look into your heart, and I can't see what you possess within your heart, what treasure you hold, whether it's eternal, whether it's temporary, I can't see your desires, I can tell by your actions the way that you live your life, and I can also tell what is in your heart.
Yes, indeed.
Matthew chapter 7, you will know them by their fruits. I'm Keith.
That's a good verse.
Hello, my name's Keith.
That's a good verse. I don't have time.
Right.
I say, I don't have time. What do you hear?
You just don't want to do it. That's what I
hear. Okay, so what other excuses do you hear?
You tell an excuse that you've heard in all your years of the rigorous preaching profession.
One of my favorites is, I just don't know what to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's one of my favorites.
People hate when people give them orders, but then when it comes to church service, we can't do anything unless we're told what to do.
Yes. And yet, you and I both know of countless examples of people who do things that no one else ever sees.
Yes.
I love those people.
I do too.
I love those people because they are not doing what they are doing to be seen. As a matter of fact, some of them go to great lengths so that no one knows what they are doing other than the recipient of the blessing that they were conveying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now that's different. The lights just came on here under the pavilion. Aren't those on a switch?
I don't know.
I'm a little unnerved.
Anyway.
I say I don't know what to do. What do you hear?
You don't want to do it. But then we all nod our heads and we say, okay, I understand.
there are those who do not know what to do.
Yeah, there are.
There are those who do not know what to do. And they could use a little help.
And that was one of the things that really kind of drove me into doing stuff that I, because, you know, I'd always wanted to do stuff around the church and with the church, but I didn't really know what to do because at the time I really hadn't found my talents. You know, I really didn't explore anything to find my talents in the first place. And so, you know, I just started asking questions, just simple questions, really wasn't, you know, revealing anything, and then, you know, you and Stan Blevins and all those other guys got me involved and stuff like that, and then I found my talents, and now I know what I need to do in order to benefit the kingdom.
You found some talents.
I found some talents. I may still have other talents. I don't know I have. I was asked to lead singing the other day. I don't know if I can sing. I'm not a very good singer, but maybe I'd be a good
songwriter. I would advise against that.
Stan said,
it's not personal, but I would advise against
it. Yeah. Yeah.
One of the hardest things that we can do in life, I don't know why this is, is ask for help.
Oh, man. It really is tough.
People hate to ask for help. They hate to. It's almost like they don't want to make it public in however small a circle it may be. They don't want it known that they don't know what to do.
Well, we're in a time when we need help. We're in a mindset where we feel vulnerable sometimes.
Yes, and so there are some who would rather do nothing.
Yes.
Than ask for help.
There is.
Mm-hmm. Or guidance. And you know, I've had people come to me before, and they're like, the lights are coming back on.
Anyway.
Is it that dark under here?
I guess so.
I'm getting alarmed. Anyway, I've had people come to me before and be like, you know, we want to do something, but we don't know what to do. What can we do? And they'll do that once.
Yeah.
Because I will start telling them, and they're like, okay, stop. And to be honest, in most of the occasions where that has happened, the end result was that nothing was done.
Yep.
So I have learned that if someone comes to me and says, you know, I really want to do something, but I don't know what to do. What can I do to help? I try to give them one or two things. And things that I think will be particularly suited to that individual.
Based on, you know, the things that they do within the church, the way that they serve.
Right. Yeah. And try to, you know, because if you give somebody a list of two things to do that, you know, okay, that's manageable. I can do two things.
You give somebody a list of 10 things.
Give them 10 things and yeah, they're overwhelmed and the result is nothing. So.
I think another thing is too, you know, people when they're looking for things to do, a lot of times they think, well, maybe there isn't anything for me to do. You know, nothing. My talents are very limited. They feel like their talents are very limited, and so they think, well, you know, there's not really anything in the church that's not being done that I could do.
I have been contemplating a sermon on two words. I think in their etymology, they're actually French.
Okay.
Because, you know, they've got funny endings and stuff.
Yeah,
because
the French are funny.
You know, when you start studying English, it is, you know, and you start going through the rule. If you're trying to teach somebody else English, and then you go, okay, you know, this is, if there's an E on the end of the word, then the vowel before it's long, you know.
Right.
Except, you know, and the exception's just, so anyway, these two words. The difference between a click and a niche.
Okay.
Because it seems as though everybody wants or ends up falling into a click.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean they're going to find their niche.
That is true.
And the niche is where they need to be, not in the click.
And I think a lot of times we steer more towards clicks because there's people in clicks.
There's safety in clicks.
And, you know, niches are things that a lot of times we have to find by ourselves, and sometimes we may be alone if we find our niche.
And since we're talking about this topic, yes, and exactly what you just said, it may come up that, well, XYZ needs to be done. My click doesn't do that.
Yeah.
And
I'm in the VBS click, okay? We don't do that click.
That's right. I'm in the VBS click. We don't do XYZ.
Yeah.
So, you know, so there is danger there. But your niche may not be in your click.
That's a really good point.
So.
That is a really, really good point.
Yeah, I really hadn't intended on bringing that one out. But anyway, so what other excuses can you think of? I don't know what to do. I don't have time.
There's just, you know, it's like there's so many of them, but then none of them come to your mind when you're thinking about it.
Oh, I see how it is.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead, Keith. I'm sure you've got 1,000.
Let's see. Other excuses. I don't have time. I don't know what to do. And, you know, here's the thing about it. It goes back to what we were talking about earlier. It all boils down to, I don't want to.
Yeah. It's the root of the plant.
I don't want to. Although there are some who, and you alluded to this earlier, what they say, what you hear, comes back to, I don't think I need to.
Yeah.
Or I don't think I need to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
somebody needs to.
But
I don't think I need to be the one who is doing that. And, you know, And that kind of goes back to the niche thing. You know, if you had, I'm trying to think of a good example here. You know, well, we're sitting here at the state park, and we look around and we see water, we see grass, we see ducks, we see picnic tables.
This is Keith's process in finding analogies for this program.
We see trash cans, and let's say that you and I get tasked with maintaining this area right here.
I don't think I need to, Keith.
but you and I have been tasked with this, Zach. And so we start looking at what needs to be done, and we get busy doing it.
Right.
And by the way, ducks are your responsibility. So
let's duck-proof our shores.
Yeah. So anyway, let's say that instead of you and I, there are 10 of us.
Okay. Right.
And then all of a sudden, somebody starts saying, "Well, you know what? I don't do trash. I'm not taking the trash out." Or somebody else saying, "I'll sit on a lawnmower, but don't you dare try to hand me a weed eater." You know.
You're listening to this too, and you can think of people within the church that this reminds you of.
But you know, on the one hand, the more people you add, the more diversity you have.
Is this true?
But also on the other hand, the more people you add into the equation, the more people feel like they can hide.
Yes.
And only
they go from 100%, and then they slowly go down to about 20%, and then they coast.
And I've also been working on, I've thought about doing a sermon on
this. I think we should create a sermon
as well.
Tab on the website, Keith.
We could.
And put some sermons up.
But, you know, you think of the church as a ship.
Okay.
Okay, so you've got the leadership of the church, the shepherds,
right.
The elders. They're the ones who, they're driving the ship.
Yeah.
They're the ones deciding where the ship's going to go and, mm-hmm. and, you know, this. Okay, then you have the deacons, the servants. They're the ones who are maintaining the ship
right.
so that the ship can keep going. And, you know, you can go on and on with this analogy, but at the end of the day, somebody's got to row the boat.
Somebody does have to row the boat.
Somebody has to row the boat. And you may be thinking, that doesn't sound like any fun.
I don't think I'd be good at rowing a boat, Keith.
But you're thinking that doesn't sound like any fun.
Yeah.
Right. And my response to that is, good. You're starting to get it.
Yeah. That's true. That's a good point, because a lot of times people are like, "Oh, you know, that doesn't sound like any fun. I want to do what that person's doing."
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know what? I don't know. Have you ever like searched through the Bible for the word fun?
I don't think it's in there.
I don't think it's in there, but...
not to get sidetracked or anything, my favorite excuse to not attend church at Church of Christ, you know, your guys' worship is just not entertaining.
Yeah.
Anyway, continue. Go back to your... I didn't know worship service was supposed to be entertaining.
Right.
That's a whole other episode.
Yes, it is.
Anyway.
So, you know what, and we could take the analogy further.
Right.
Let's say your job is to row the boat.
Okay.
I can get you an oar
mm-hmm.
with padded handles.
Yeah.
Covered with brass. It
yes.
is shiny. It is pretty. It is comfortable, but it's also going to be heavy.
It is. My arms hurt when I lift things heavy.
And the more bling you put on that oar, the heavier it is going to get.
Yep.
And the harder it's going to be for you to row with that pretty oar.
That's a good point.
And, you know, I don't know. I got way sidetracked
well,
there.
You
Sorry.
Did. You did with Sorry. Your Sorry. With your boat analogy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But. I think we've answered why people are so absent in our serving, or we've at least given it a good chance of why people are so absent in our serving.
Well, and to reiterate, that goes back to what I say, what you hear. And actually, it's what I say, what God hears. So, but yeah, you... You just squirreled big time. You're watching the guy with the backhoe, and you're not paying any attention. Is it necessary to do it right now? Zach, we're doing a radio program here. Come on, focus. Anyway,
but I think the question that we need to answer after why is how. How do we serve? How do we serve others?
Okay, before we answer that question, let me see how much time we got. We got time to do this. How did we get to that point?
Okay.
How did we get to the point? How do we get to the point where we see things that need to be done and we are able to walk away from them?
Okay.
Or we are able to say, that's not my job. Or we are able to say, how did we get to the point where things don't get done that really need to be done?
Do you want me to answer first, or you want to answer first?
Oh, I didn't have an answer. This is totally for you.
Okay. Well, I think... I'm glad that you're asking me questions today. I think it starts, and I always look at I try to simplify things. I really do. I try to find the simplest answer, and a lot of times the answer is not found on the surface. But I try to find the simplest answer. But I think it starts with a groove. We get in a groove at church.
Groove. Let's write that down.
We park in the same parking spot. We sit in the same exact spot in the pew. We do the same exact thing. We even shake the same people's hands on the way out of the church building, Keith. And maybe even talk about the same things. I've had that happen.
Yes.
And so slowly we become more complacent. We become more settled. We become more okay with the state that our heart is in. And unlike ourselves, we may think that we're okay. Yeah, we're fine. We're going to church once a week. We're doing what we need to do. But slowly, your heart's condition starts to drop, but you still think you're right there where you need to be.
Right. Okay, so I have taken my finger and written on the tabletop here the word groove.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you can't see it because I wrote with my finger on the tabletop. But I wrote that down. Let me add one in. Burned.
Ooh, yeah. Okay.
Somebody got their feelings hurt.
Yep.
You know what? It doesn't matter whether you've had the right to get your feelings hurt or not, okay? Let's just go ahead and throw that out. It does not matter whether you were justified in having your feelings hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody gets their feelings hurt, I'm not going to do that anymore.
I ain't doing that for him anymore.
Mm-mm. Nope. He better not ask me to do anything else.
Yep.
And then what happens? They get into a different groove.
They do. Well, so-and-so said to do that, but I ain't doing it for him. We didn't that kind of group.
Are you a little bit bitter there, Zach? Because that was an awful lot of emotion in that there. But
how it is. And people are like that. And people like that. And, it's disheartening, one.
It is.
It's disheartening for the work of the church.
It is... It makes me sad for those people.
It does. And the attitude does more harm than it does good. You can't have that attitude and then it doesn't affect anybody else. And you're the only one with that attitude. Because when you have that attitude, what happens? You want everybody to have that attitude.
Right.
And so you slowly take down the church with them.
You may not want everyone to have that attitude, but... You
spread it like wildfire.
You give the feeling that you want everybody to have that attitude, whether you mean to or not.
We're stepping on a lot of toes.
Bad attitudes are so contagious.
They are, man.
So contagious.
It's like a virus.
It's like malaria.
Just had to throw it in there.
I had to throw it in. Yeah.
That's Keith's war story.
I went to... a doctor yesterday.
Okay.
And she was like, because I hadn't seen her since before I went to Peru, and I went back for a checkup. By the way, it was a dermatologist, and I've got the wound.
Okay.
It's at least I like my dermatologist.
Mm-hmm.
She'll spray that stuff on you, and it hurts.
Yeah.
But she's smiling, when she does it. So, here, this is going to hurt,
Spray.
But anyway, she's like, you didn't take the medicine? No, I didn't take the medicine. But,
right.
She withstood me to the face. You know, yeah. But anyway, by the way, if you need a good dermatologist, I'll be happy to recommend her. But yeah, you know, I don't know. We get these attitudes in our heart, and yes, it does spread like an infectious disease.
Yep.
And you know, and I, when we did the post malaria episode, I sang Dr. Manon's praises. I will sing them again just because I can. But you know, you may not have a Dr. Manon handy, you know, and the longer you let it go, the worse it is going to become. So what were we? How do we serve? Yep. Like I said, we could do an entire episode. As a matter of fact,
I think we have, haven't we?
I
with Alan Webster, wasn't that what we talked about? Was serving others?
Yes, yes, and that really wasn't that long ago. It feels like forever ago, but yep. Wasn't that long ago. But you know, we got to figure out a way to get him back on the program.
Man, he's good.
So, when we get this new technology thing figured out, we're gonna rope him in.
We can rope a bunch of people in when we get that figured out.
I think we can.
Yeah. Anyway.
So, what was I talking about when I got sidetracked?
How to serve God.
My suggestion would be, since we have two more questions to answer in the next 2 weeks, that we just go ahead and pencil in for that third week.
Okay.
How to serve.
All right.
How to serve. That's going to be the episode 3 weeks from now.
Okay.
How to serve.
All right.
And, but.
I think a good verse for that would be Romans 9, verses 9 through 13. I think that's what the verses are. But anyway, we'll get later.
I'm saying Romans 12, but
anyway.
We've got 3 weeks to get that figured out. So you look at your heart, you say, "Yeah, I got a problem."
Yeah.
You may not say it out loud.
But you may not
whisper it to where, you know, anybody could ever hear it.
The first step in addressing a problem is admitting that you have a problem. And unless you're willing to admit that you have a problem, you can't address that problem.
Hang on, Zach. Before you say that, let me ask the next question. What am I going to do about it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what did you just say?
The first step in addressing a problem is admitting that you have a problem. But unless you're willing to admit that you have a problem in the first place, you can't address the problem.
So, you may say, maybe I've got a little problem here.
Yep.
What am I going to do about it?
You got to change your heart.
You're going to have to change your heart.
We don't like to do introspection as
we don't
as
like
humans. We change. Do not like it at all.
We don't want to change our heart.
And we definitely don't like introspection when it comes with changing.
Although I would say we like introspection better than we like someone else providing that for us.
Yeah.
We would, and let me put it this way. Dear listener, you would much rather take a look at your own life and come to the conclusion that you have a problem with your heart than have someone come up to you and look you in the eye and say, "Zach, you got a problem."
Yes. And I think we're much more external than we are internal a lot of times. We like to look around. We like to look at other people.
We love to look at other people.
Dissect other people's problems and look at their faults. But then when it comes time to look at our faults and look where we can improve, we don't like to do that.
And, you know, I wish that there was a cure-all, but depending on what the problem is, depending on how you got to that problem, it's going to determine what you have to do to change your heart.
And it all boils down to one question. If you were told today that you had a heart problem, would you do something about it, or would you just sit around the house waiting to die?
And we know people
who would just sit around the
who
house.
Who have made that choice.
Yes. But I think...
And we know people who have made that choice spiritually.
And I think the healthy solution to that problem would be, let me go to the doctor and figure what's going on.
You have to say, I want to live spiritually.
Yes. And the great physician is who you have to turn to when you have a heart problem spiritually.
That'd be a good sermon also. I want to live spiritually.
Yep. We've got a lot of good sermons. We're going to have to open up a sermon tab.
We can put it in a sermon tab, and yeah, we can do stuff with that. But okay, so let's wrap this up. Contact information.
Mine is Zach@letstalkaboutchristianity.com, and you are?
I was waiting for you to spell your name. Keith@letstalkaboutchristianity.com, facebook.com/.
Let's Talk About Christianity.
Letstalkaboutchristianity.com.
Yeah.
Instagram, LTAC Podcast.
Wow, you're really, really getting with the new times,
yeah,
Keith. Good job,
yeah,
man.
Score.
Good job.
And, of course, we want to thank you for listening, and we're going to get that blood drive information posted, and...
we want to leave you with this. Fix your heart problem. Go see the doctor about it. Get some medicine. Do something about it. Don't just sit around the house and wait to die.
Good one. We'll see you next week.